So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Postmaster Dragon, any mail today?
Mail? Why waste our precious time with mail when we can fill the air with song? Oh, she was only a shoemaker's daughter, but she had a lot of soul. Didn't make it, huh? Soul? Soul on your shoe? Shoemaker's daughter?
Would you please get the mail?
Well, it's hard for me to imagine growing up in Chicago without the memorable shows that made a lasting impact on our lives. One of my favorites was from the creative mind of the legendary Bill Jackson. I discovered Giggle Snort Hotel, which was a must-watch viewing, but many of my friends a tad older than me revere Bill from the days of Cartoon Town and BJ and the Dirty Dragon, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. And the one and only Bill Jackson joins us this morning. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, David, and good morning, Chicago.
Well, I got to tell you, for those of us who grew up in the 60s through the 80s, you are a part of a pretty elite group of Chicago broadcasters, a part of our childhood for so many of us.
Well, that's wonderful, and a part of is exactly right. Particularly WGN had just outstanding performers. Outstanding. And the competition was pretty stiff, David.
It was, but man, you rose above it all. I got to tell you, you know, the book is fabulous because it really tells your story in television, really kind of a great connection for all of us who grew up with you. And, you know, I was looking, you know, you entered the service, you joined the Armed Forces Radio, where you started exploring puppetry. That was kind of your first taste of it.
Yes, yes, it was. In fact, it was a real surprise. I was with Armed Forces Radio and Television. That's what they called it then, Armed Forces. American Forces, I think, is what they call it now. But at any rate, of all things, I was stationed in Hollywood, and I was doing the artwork and writing and actually doing some directing for it. These were for programs that went overseas. And next door to me was the head writer, and he was a charming gentleman. And he invited me over one afternoon. He had a TV set in his office. He invited me over, and he wanted me to see a show that was done by Walker Edmonston. And Walker was an incredible talent. He was on Gunsmoke and just a battery of other shows, but he had his own children's show, and he had some of the funniest puppets I'd ever seen, and that hooked me.
And that was it. Well, I mean, your first children's show was in Fort Wayne in the 60s called Popeye and the Little Rascals Club. You had your self-titled Bill Jackson show, which debuted in Indiana, but then CBS in Chicago came calling, WBBM in 1965, and with all the popularity with Bozo and WGN, they wanted a clown too, and thus came Clown Alley, and here comes Freckles, right?
Yes, but I didn't know, and I write about this in the book. I was very excited and appreciative of being hired by WBBM, but I didn't know they wanted a clown, and I'd never done a clown, so I gave it a shot.
Yeah, you did. You absolutely did. And that show, it came, it went, those shows, but the management there, and I always found this fascinating, Bill, because you've told me the story before too, that BBM allowed you to shoot a pilot for your next series, even though it might not have aired on their station.
Exactly. The manager there, in saying goodbye to me, offered something incredible. Wow. He offered for me to shoot a pilot, doing my thing, the puppets, the cartooning, and all of that, and didn't charge me a penny. It would have cost me thousands of dollars.
Wow.
And he gave me that as a gift to wish me well.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And then WFLD started calling in 68, and where Cartoon Town was born. They put you against Garfield Goose, I believe, in the afternoons, and the rest was history. And that's where Chicagoans really got to know Bill Jackson and all of your amazing characters.
Well, that was the big one. That was the launch, and it took quite a struggle. And I think it was when I had my character, the Lemon Joke Kid, kidnap me in his helicopter and landed me in Mayor Daley's fair at South Chicago. We drew a record-breaking crowd, and that launched my future.
And you were the mayor of Cartoon Town with a cast of characters, again, that will never be rivaled. Let's talk about all the characters you brought to the small screen. I got to play a little bit with them, with you, years ago.
Yes, you did. You want to tell them about that, David?
Well, here's the thing. Let's jump to that for a second. The characters, the puppets, were made out of like a rubber material, and they weren't intended to last 40, 50 years. And what you did to restore them and bring them back to their glory was great. We were, trying to figure out how to put them on stage so that they were standing up, and we used toilet plungers, which is always one of my favorite stories. It's fantastic. It was brilliant.
Yes, Dave, I still have it embedded in my mind. The look on your face as you inserted each plunger.
That's fantastic. Oh, it was so much fun. It was so much fun. But these characters, Bill, the Dirty Dragon, Mother Plumtree, Old Professor, Weird, Wally Good Scout. I mean, these are some of the most memorable characters, really, of all time on children's television.
Well, thank you. I drew from my past on that. Just picking one, Dirty Dragon was a friend of mine in Indianapolis, television there. His name was George Williford. He was a very erudite, polished person. I shared an office with him, but you did not speak to him until he had had his second cup of coffee when he came in.
Okay.
And after the second cup of coffee, he just turned into a charmer. But I based the dragon, David, on the pre-second cup of coffee, George.
That's nice. I love that. And here's the thing, too. When you were doing all this, Bill, you shot live on tape, but you did it as a live show. There was no turning back. There were no corrections. You kind of lived as you filmed it.
Yes, that's pretty much true. It would have to be something pretty horrendous for us to go back because we didn't have the time. And so we also had some real whoopsies on it because of that, but we just had to go with it. There was no way to go back and reshoot it for the most part.
But you did everything. I mean, really, when you think about maybe a cast of thousands helping you produce these shows and put all this stuff together, the help was minimal. I mean, you really ended up doing everything, everything down to the sound effects that were happening and the special effects that were happening and the smoke out of the dragon and everything else. I mean, you were kind of managing and juggling it all while hosting a live program.
Well, thank you, David. I was managing it and in some cases doing it myself. But I had incredible help. Dave Dillman helped launch me at for Cartoon Town. He was top flight director, and I worked closely with him. The audio man, Jim Shaw was one of them. That was just excellent. I had a lot of contribution on their part, and for the most part, I think they really enjoyed doing it. It was a challenge to them. They hadn't done that at the TV station before, and they were great.
Now, let's see, some eyes that say, "Don't you want to go on a date with me, Florence?"
Oh, yeah.
Yes! Yeah. All right. Hang on there. Now, listen, I'm not going to send you out looking like any old ragtag either. We are going to do the hotel statuary up in fine style. Look at this bow tie, little bow tie there.
Great.
Got this straight from Fred Astaire. Yes, I did. Look at that.
So, Bill, BJ and the Dirty Dragon was next. The show successfully aired till 73, where you went on to our very own WGN. Because I found when you came to WGN television, like the name of your like the closet where they stored everything was still on the box because they don't throw out anything over there. It's funny.
I'd be interested to know what was in there. It's probably pretty wild.
But I'll tell you, The Blob, such a favorite that we just heard from. What was your inspiration behind that? Because you have been such an inspiration for so many artists over the years. What was your inspiration behind that? And I have to tell you, we've got a massive text coming in asking if they could hear from The Blob.
Well, which you want me to answer first?
Let's talk about the inspiration first.
Okay. Inspiration for The Blob came because at one time, actually it started in Indianapolis, I did a feature called Play with Clay, and I took it over into Clown Alley when I came to Chicago. But in Indianapolis, I would work with three or four of the kids from the audience. We'd sit at a table, and we would make up clay things, and it was a lot of fun. I carried that over to Clown Alley, but I didn't have the kids to work with. Clown Alley didn't have an audience, mm-hmm. unfortunately, on the air either. But
it happens.
One day I thought, I really need to talk with somebody about what I'm doing. And then I thought, well, what if the clay talked to me?
That's amazing.
And then it just built on that. And so this big hunk of clay that I was working on, I developed a voice for it. And it and I would converse while I turned it into something. And that became The Blob.
Absolute classic. Do you got a little blob in you, Bill?
You know, I haven't done The Blob in Chicago for 37 years, David, or 37 years.
Wow.
But,
yes.
But I will, let's see, I have to work my, I'm taking deep breaths here, David, okay. I'm getting ready.
All right. Okay. All right, I'll stand back.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. That was fantastic, Bill. Thank you. You made millions of people happy, Bill, listening to that. Man. That is fantastic. Thank you so much. You know, during the mid-70s, I know television was starting to change a little bit because the federal government started pushing the requirement that children's programming be educationally themed. How did that change what you did with your show?
Well, to stay alive, I was going to have to incorporate that. Now, the fact is, Cartoon Town, I'll bring that as an example. I did a lot of things that would have been considered educational. I encouraged creativity a lot, drawing, writing, performance, music numbers, but they were not labeled educational per se. And so to stay alive, I was going to have to, in effect, play my own trombone a little bit on that. And that's where the Giggle Snort Hotel came in. Because when I started doing the hotel, I made each episode with a worthwhile theme. And I made sure that was printed on the screen about three times during the show. And therefore, it easily qualified for worthwhile programming, and that, in effect, saved my bacon.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I was seven, I think, when Giggle Snort Hotel went on the air. So that's the show I grew up with. I had to go back and watch all the fabulous things that you'd done with BJ and the Dirty Dragon before that. But, you know, I knew it was an educational program. 78 episodes over 3 years. It ran until 85. It was syndicated in 78, and I knew it aired not only nationally, but it was in Canada, it was in Italy, I think it was even in Saudi Arabia, wasn't it?
Yes, of all things it was.
Yeah.
And Singapore, I think. And I tell you, David, the show in Italy was done in Italian. It was redubbed. The audio was redubbed. And I want to tell you, that made it very funny to me.
You really didn't have to edit The Blob, though, in Italian, because that really was, he spoke every language, really.
That's true. That's true. They didn't touch his voice.
No, they did not.
I sounded hilarious. I don't know. It was just incredible.
And you left television to teach at the California Institute for the Arts for the School of Film and Video for 12 years. So even though you left Chicago, you went on to teach and inspire more artists that are out there. And I think that's just fabulous.
Well, I hope I taught them something. I was an administrator and a teacher for the School of Film and Video. It was founded by Disney. It was a very imaginative school, or institute, I should say. And I was known as one of the more sober ones.
Nice. Nice. Well, you know, the very talented, our mutual friend Jim Engel developed the Cartoon Town exhibit that's now on display at the Museum of Broadcast Communications with such love from what you inspired him and so many of us for over the years. That exhibit, you know, with all the characters and the backgrounds, is such a true tribute to your legacy.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Jim's name. He's just been a wonderful backing for anything I ever did. And he's a great guy and an exemplary cartoonist. Whew, man. And Jim and I have co-hosted some programs that I've, stage shows, things that I did for the museum. I want to mention Ted Okuda, too, who had his own book, The Golden Age of Chicago Children's Television. Ted has been a great help, too. Jim and Ted... in fact, I asked them, and they complied. They gave me a couple of blurbs on the back of the book, and bless their hearts. And these are great guys, and Chicago should be very proud of them.
So many memories, Bill. You are a true television icon, and I'm so glad, once again, that you've taken the time for us.
Oh, David, thank you so much for having me on your show, and you're a great guy, and you're very supportive, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy holidays to you and Joe.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir.